Oh, The recharging and renewing comes not from what you are eating, but from the one who comes to the meal with you. Picture yourself sitting across the table from Jesus. He provided the meal. He is pleased to join you. When you are face to face with Him, you are reminded of the great exchange. His purity for your sins, His strength for your weakness, and His peace for your turmoil. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That is enough to recharge you until you meet Him again at the table. As you eat and drink, savor His presence. Rejoice that He sees you as faultless. May your time with Him today recharge you. May you be filled with joy as you realize that He invited you, He prepared for you, and He welcomes you to join Him. Let's partake of this bread. Let's partake of this juice.
I was thinking about the Old Testament and the Ark of the Covenant. And you know, the interesting thing is, even in modern religions, but particularly in ancient religions, there was always an idol or some object that you worshipped.
Right.
There was an image of their God. And yet, the Ark of the Covenant was interesting in that a lot of times people think that, you know, people worship the Ark. That was, after all, the Holy of Holies. But the reality is, the way the ark was built, with the angels with their wings crossed over and the angels looking inside and having a mercy seat there in the middle, the ark itself, in a real sense, wasn't special other than that it was looking at the focal point at where God said He would meet with the people.
Right.
So the ark was not so much a thing as the God who was to be sitting on that seat. We serve a real but invisible God.
That's right.
And the thing is, if God was not there, if He did not inhabit the tabernacle, if He was not sitting on the seat, they'd be like any other religion. There wasn't some thing that the Israelites worshipped. There was a person, a real entity,
that's right,
that sat there.
Amen.
If He's not there, then it's all just furniture.
That's right.
Shiny furniture? Sure. Lots of relics and lots of religious ceremonies, and that's all well and good, but without God in the midst of it,
that's right,
it's worthless.
Right.
Without God in the midst of our church,
amen,
it's just a building, a community center.
That's right.
It's just a bunch of people meeting together. See, the thing is, God was there. When they opened the temple for the first time, God's Spirit was so thick that it was a cloud that covered the temple. The priest couldn't even go in. Because God's Spirit was so thick there. God is real.
Yes, He is. Amen.
And God is not dead. Amen. God is both alive and active. He is alive and working in our lives. God is not far off. You know, the world thinks that God is dead or that He doesn't exist. They don't expect anything from God. How do you expect something from a God who poetry says is dead and the world thinks is just He never was there in the first place? It's just some kind of foolish religion. Of course, you don't expect anything. But even in a lot of churches, they believe that God is alive, but He's off in heaven somewhere, waiting for us. And when we get to heaven, we'll be able to see Him and it'll be glorious and all these wonderful things. But in the meantime, they think that God. God's no longer active, which to my way of thinking is the equivalent of being dead. He's not doing anything. He's not active. And he's not God participating in our lives. See, they believe that miracles and that the movement of God and that the Holy Spirit itself are all just these little things that you either get the Holy Spirit by saying a couple words and feeling nothing, or miracles just ended with the apostles. It was just to get the church started. It was a jumper. It was to boost the church and get started, and then it kind of all faded away. Why would God stop boosting the church? It makes no sense. It's one of the most illogical things ever. And yet a lot of churches are stuck believing that God is just off out there somewhere. Bible doesn't say that. See, in the Bible there is an expectation that God can and that He will act on our behalf. Joshua 3:10 says this, and Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." David said it this way in 1 Samuel 17:26, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
Yes.
See, David was a young man. He wasn't a warrior yet. I put him kind of somewhere in his teens, probably, right, looking at the Bible.
Right.
But he wasn't a warrior, and yet he had this massive giant who was a warrior. Man of war from his youth, the Bible says.
Right.
And yet he's willing to go out and fight him. Why? Not because he had all his faith in his sling. Not because he'd gone out and killed the lion and the bear, but because God had helped him kill the lion and the bear. He had faith that a living God would give him victory over the giant. We serve a living God. Even King Darius, a pagan king, said in Daniel 6:26-27, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, a steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even until the end. He delivereth, he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" We serve a living and an active God. The God who met with us this morning meets the needs we were praying for. God is a healer. I know, and I'm sure many of you have been healed. And that God's hand touch you and change your very physical being so that you no longer were sick. It's happened to me on multiple occasions. He's a comforter. That's kind of funny. Something popped into my head. I posted on Facebook this week. So pardon me quoting myself, but I quote myself on occasion. But this world thinks that it is solved chemistry, biology, and psychology. But they have yet to bring love, joy, and peace. With all the medications, and we are an overly medicated nation, with all the new drugs and all the new therapies and all the new things that are coming out constantly, we live in a sadder, more depressed world than we have ever seen. And yet the world says, our science says, we know how all this works. We're getting it all figured out. And yet it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. Meanwhile, God is sitting there looking and giving a spiritual solution. They think that there is a chemical solution to a spiritual problem, when in reality, God is the only one that can promise you love and joy and peace. He's the only one that can promise to meet your needs. He's the only one that can and to give you a peace that is not even explainable. God is a deliverer. He promises to deliver us from sin. He promises to deliver us from temptation. He promises to deliver us from whatever it is that ensnares us in life.
Amen.
He's a peace giver, as I've already mentioned. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He is the one that gives us peace. He is the one that does miracles. He is the one that gives us strength. He is the one that gives us guidance. Psalms 119:105 says, "The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Through our prayer and our reading of God's word, we can know what it is to serve God. We can know what our next steps are. I plan on preaching something different this morning. Funny thing is, God talked to me. When you pray, God does talk. God does change things. He gives you direction. He gives you peace. I'll preach the other message some other time. When God leads me to preach that one. But today, God wants you to know, as He showed you this morning, that He is alive. He is active. He is here. And He wants to meet your needs today. In Jesus' name. If we serve a living God, we can expect Him to meet our needs. But that also means that we in turn need to be a living church.
We
can't be a dead church. We can't be a church that kind of comes and shows up and that's about it. Amen? We need to have God's Spirit flow. If God's Spirit is so alive, we need to be showing that Spirit to the world. We need it to be working through us. God called us to be vessels of Him. His Spirit is in us so that it can work through us. It's in us so it can change us, but integral to the very fact that God is touching us, and that God is ministering to us, and that God is changing our lives. It's the fact that we are to be ministers for Him.
Right.
By being changed by His Spirit, we instantly become a witness that God is moving. We need, first of all, to meet with God. You know, Exodus 19:5-7 says this, speaking to the children of Israel. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Now, people of Israel went on to decide they didn't want to get close to God. When God came to the mountain to speak to them, they decided they were going to turn around and walk away and have Moses go up and meet with God. So Moses became the light of that generation. Because the people as a whole did not want to. We need to be people that take hold of that promise. That we are called to be a chosen people. That we are called to be a peculiar people. A treasure under God. A kingdom of priests. A holy people. In a world of darkness and of uncleanness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation." Speaking back to that same passage. "A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Moses walked into the darkness on the mountain when the people ran away from God. We have been called out of the darkness of this world into God's light. So God has given us the promise that if we live for Him, He will make us into something special. In the last couple months, Ruth and I have been praying about a couple things. But one of the things for me particularly is my job. somewhat of a, it's a nice job, it's an okay job, it's somewhat of a cushy job. Doesn't pay a whole lot, unfortunately, but it's got one major problem, besides not paying a whole lot. I knew that was going to happen. I should have put the microphone down. I hate having pauses in my message. The problem is, partially my previous job. My previous job, I worked at Kingwood College of Evangelism. And I got to impact young people's lives on a daily basis. That was my job, was to help young people learn how to be ministers. And then you go to a library, and I love libraries. I work in a library, obviously. I chose that job for a reason. But I go to the library, and my job is to fix computers and make sure people can get on Facebook. I want to be... God called me to be a peculiar person. He called me to be a minister.
Right.
And while there are things I can do at the library, and I'm reaching out and doing extra things at the library, God called me to be a preacher. He called me to be a minister. He called me to do His work in the world. Don't understand. Not everyone's called to be a preacher. Some people are called to youth, or they're called to the medical field, or whatever they might be called to. But wherever you're called to be a peculiar person in that area. I wasn't called to be at a library. I wanted to go to a library because we had a bunch of spiders in our apartment. I went to a library because God knew that I needed some time to recover from what all had been going on. I was, to be perfectly honest, I was burnt out at Gateway towards the end. And so God knew what He was doing. He opened up this job for me, and now, again, a couple months ago, He started putting a desire in me to move on to the next thing God's called me to do. But the thing is, wherever you are, you're called to be peculiar. Wherever you are, you're called to be God's light into that world. You know, one of the things that happened with me being in this library, she's not saved yet. I pray to God she will be. But there's a lady there who is very much not Christian, and I live even further south than this. Bible Belt. Everyone at least claims to be a Christian normally. But she came up to me one day and she said, "Josh, I want to thank you." And I'm sitting there thinking, I have no idea what you could possibly be thanking me for, but okay. And she said, "You know, I don't think I've ever had a minister who didn't look down at me. Thank you for treating me well." That was something unusual. That's something I'd never heard before. But God put me there partially so I could minister to a woman who always felt like she was something less.
Come on.
It's not what you expect when you're an IT guy at a library, but God has called us wherever we are to have His Spirit working inside us in such a way that even when we don't realize it, we're ministering to the people around us.
Yeah.
Because we are a living God. Just as God is our healer and our comforter, we in turn become healers and comforters in the world around us. This is nowhere in my notes. This is God just speaking. So pardon me. I wander a little bit. But we're called to meet with God and let God work through us. Because as He changes us and as He makes us more loving, He will automatically start working in the world around us. So every one of us is called to be a minister, to meet the needs of those around us. But we need to serve God and be a living church in order for that to happen. We need God's Spirit inside of us for that to happen. We need to fight the powers of darkness. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6 says this: "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Most of our problems, just like I was talking about chemicals versus spirit, Most of our problems really boil down to, is God inside you? Is He working inside you?
Right.
So the thing is, when God's inside you and He's working inside you, He's able to meet the physical needs as well.
That's right.
The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or receiving bread. God has a way, as we obey Him and as we serve Him, of changing our life situations so that He can minister to us in our life. Whether it's, I've talked about this before, but whether it's redemptive lift, the very fact that in serving God and in working in all of the areas of work, working as unto the Lord, and therefore we wind up getting a raise because we're the best worker there, because we're not working for the company, we're working for God at the company.
Right.
That's it. Come on now.
Or whether it be that God works a miracle and it winds up providing for you through something like the meal thing that goes on here. Or through whatever other... My mom tells a story one time, and I've never had this particular thing happen to me. But she tells a story of one time that she was at Gateway. She was a teacher there. Actually, a high school they had there. And she was broke. Like, broke. And it was summer, so the cafeteria was closed, which I was one of the perks that worked there, so we got to eat in the cafeteria, right? She couldn't afford any food. And so she was in her bedroom, crying and praying to God, and someone comes by, knocks on her door, puts a little McDonald's bag or something by her door, and walks on. She walks out, no one there, McDonald's man, sitting by her door. God can meet any of our needs. And we don't always, you can typically explain them away if you really want to. The world certainly tries to explain away all things God does.
Right.
But God is an active God.
That's right.
And He has ways of working on people to the benefit of His people. We need to fight the powers of darkness through prayer, through fasting, through witnessing, through testifying, through all the things that engage in the spiritual realm in order for us to see the changes in this physical realm. And one of the best things you can do for your loved one if they're not saved, one of the best things is to pray for them. Night after night, day after day, keeping them in your prayers so that God's Spirit can open their hearts. Here's the thing. Before they're going to be receptive to you telling them about God on an intellectual level, their heart needs to be opened on a spiritual level. So your prayers to God allow God to work in their life and open their heart and open their mind so that they can be open to hearing about the God you serve. Think about it. This world has told people so many lies about God. And then you come in and tell them the truth about God, who are they going to naturally believe unless God is working on their heart?
Yes.
So if we engage them on a spiritual level, praying to God, fasting, showing them love, showing them kindness, showing them goodness,
right,
and developing that relationship both with you and them and with God and them, then they can finally be open to hearing what it is you have to say,
yes,
about this God you serve.
Right.
So we engage, we're warriors in the spiritual realm through prayer, through fasting, through our witnessing, through our testifying, through our living our daily life with God always present, always in our conscious, always working through us. We need to praise God. David said in Psalms 23:3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." If you want God's Spirit active in your life, praise Him. God loves. He's like any one of us in that sense. He loves to have praise. He loves it when people love Him, when people worship Him. You know, my wife, oftentimes we'll be sitting at home, and I'll be, you know, talking about her, we'll be wherever we are, and I'm talking about her, and I'm bragging up. She does this little thing. It's where her face goes blood red. I love it personally. But when I see it happening, I start pouring it on. More and more and more. I want to see what shade of red I can get her to. And if it ever makes it to purple, amen? God is good. She's turning red right now. You can see it. Because I'm preaching, I will stop. But otherwise, I can make it go at least the shade of her shirt. The blue shirt, not the yellow shirt. That would be kind of weird. I don't want her to look sickly. But she loves having me brag on her. Everyone loves to be bragged about, to be loved. She loves having that feeling of being loved by her husband.
Right.
And one of the cutest things in the world was when I got home and not everyone's like, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home." I love that because she's my child. In the same way, God loves it when we worship and we praise Him and we thank Him and we give Him praises and we tell Him how wonderful He is and how good He is, how much He has done for us. He inhabits those praises. Our thanks also encourage that. And finally, we need to trust Him to meet our needs. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Hebrews says it this way in Hebrews 4:15-16. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace," is what I'm saying this morning. "Let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need." We need to trust Him that when we are going through our difficult times, and when things are looking dark, that if we worship Him and we praise Him and we're faithful, that we can go boldly to Him in prayer and say, "God, these are my needs, and I need Your help. I can't figure it out. I cannot do this on my own."
Hallelujah.
We can come boldly before the throne of grace, and God will meet our needs. And here's the thing. I cannot promise you eternal help. I cannot promise you, and I would not promise you, as some would, that God will, in every occasion, heal you. I don't know always why God does heal some people and doesn't heal other people. I don't know why He does work out in one situation and why in another situation. We don't seem to understand what He's doing. I'm sure many of you have felt this way, but sometimes I look at God and I'm like, "I don't get it. But aren't you like a month or two too late?" And all of a sudden He opens up the doors of what He's going to do, and it's like, "Oh, okay, I get it now. I don't know why I was so late, but He met every need that I had." I don't know why God does this time. I guess if I did, I'd be getting a whole lot closer to God. Maybe I would pray a few more hours a day. Maybe I would know, but trusting God and having faith in Him and looking back, that's part of the reason, by the way, we're supposed to thank Him and we're supposed to testify, because that's looking back and seeing all the things He's done for us.
Yeah.
That way we know, we don't have to have the doubts in our head. Is God really there? Is He really helping us? I can look back and say, no, He's been there all this time. All these healings and all these we've had so many financial blessings in the last 3 years, Ruth and I, as far as God bailing us out of situation after situation, it's not even fun. Money's not so much a concern, and it's still a thing that's there every now and then. But I know God's going to do something. I'm always sitting there, "When are you going to do it, God?" Not, "Will you do it?" Because I know He's going to do it at this point. I just don't know where He's going to pull that miracle out.
Right.
You know? But because I've seen it time and time again, and I thank Him for it time and time again, I can realize that He's still active. I may not always see it. He is still an invisible God. His ways are still beyond my ways. I don't understand everything He's doing. I'll never understand everything He's doing. Not until I'm on the other side. Not until I'm in heaven. I know Him even as I have been known by Him. So I can't tell you I know why He's doing whatever He's doing the way He's doing it. And I cannot promise you eternal health. But I can promise you this. I can promise you eternal life. And I can promise you that your life will be a lot more abundant than it was.
That's right.
John 10:10 says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundant. God is here to give us eternal life, but He's also here to give us a life on this earth that's much better than the life we had. And I don't know about any of y'all, but I'm pretty sure anyone that's living for God for any period of time knows where I was and who I was is not the same as who I am and where I am. And I am so much more blessed and so much more happy now, even in the dark times, than I ever was back then. Because I have a living God. I am so much happier. I have so much more peace. Back then, I used to worry constantly. I was constantly in fear. I didn't have any security about me. But now I have that security. And even though I don't always know where it's going to come from, I know my God is protecting me. I know my God is watching out for me. I know that He is providing for me. So in conclusion, I just want to simply say this. God is alive. God is active. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a peace giver. He does still do miracles. He does still give strength. He does still give guidance. He is an active God. And we need to worship Him. We need to thank Him for it. You know, every time we come to church, it's an opportunity to worship Him. Every time we come to church, it's also an opportunity to be heard by Him. It's an opportunity to be healed. It is an opportunity to be delivered. It is an opportunity to get peace that we did not have before. It is an opportunity to praise a great and awesome God. Amen? Amen. God is good. God is good. Before we close tonight in the song, just if you come to the piano. And you have heard me sing before, so I'm not going to do it this time. Because even my wife cringed, and she loves me. I want to sing, "Look What the Lord Has Done." And just remind us a little bit this morning, all the things God has done in our lives. And that God is still here. God's still active. And we already had prayer at the altar once this morning. Well, I'm going to ask if any of you has a need. Whether it's looking for peace, whether it's looking for love, whether it's looking for help financially, whatever it may be, if you have a need in your life, then God's got to do something. And I just don't understand where the help's coming from. Come on up to the front. And we'll pray with you again. And we'll add your testimony to all the other ones that are going to be thought of here this morning as we sing this song, "Look What the Lord Has Done." You'll be able to walk away saying, "Look what God has done for me." In Jesus' name, we can sing.